Sam Spalita of Human Plant Solutions, thank you so much for being with us on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Joy. I appreciate it.
Hey, when we've got the more and exciting innovations that are happening in hemp, we want you so much on Hemp Barons. And brother, you are making prosthetics out of hemp for folks who are disabled, folks who are missing some limbs. Please tell us how Human Plant Solutions came to be in this world.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've had a long road and journey in everything from learning about hemp to entrepreneurship to grants to working with universities. I mean, our story has so many layers. It's an onion that just I think keeps growing.
Or as I'll say, a lotus petal, a lotus flower whose petals keep unfolding.
An onion. So I mean, we started in North Carolina. My background is medical device sales. My business partner, Kyle Trevisano, his background is more medical device manufacturing. He has a background in specifically manufacturing prosthetics. So we started the company about 4 years ago. And I came in about 3 years ago, and we've just been on a journey of everything from going to hemp conventions, going to entrepreneurship conventions, going to learn how to write grants to the government. There's just so many ways that we were able to look at this. And I'm sure that you know this as well, Joy, that I think it's the plant itself has so many capabilities that sometimes when you're trying to create something with it, you get pulled in a lot of different directions just by people in general having so much interest and you become interested yourself. So, you know, in that aspect of 3 years of going through that, I think I've done that a lot myself and seen a lot of people doing it. So, you know, and it's great to be able to work with something that has the capability to provide so much innovation.
And yet the explosion, and like some like sort of writing down some notes as I'm listening to you speak, and it's an explosion of information, and it's an explosion of opportunity and inspirations, and also an explosion of folks who can take you in the wrong direction, right? Everyone's an expert, only you well know, you and Kyle, as I do by now, that to actually call yourself an expert in any hemp discipline or hemp industry or hemp ancillary service, it really means something. So actually, I tend to, other than when I'm actually expert witness testifying in court or administrative matters, I like to call myself a specialist lest I be confused with those just haphazardly calling themselves experts.
I don't want the expert label. No way. That's
so important. But let me quickly ask you too, and I already have so many things that I want to drill into because it's just so completely inspiring what you folks are doing and what you've already accomplished and are putting out into the world. And I think we know that in hemp years, you're already 150 years old. But how did you discover hemp? Clearly, you know about sustainability, regeneration. You are talking about humans and plants solving problems. But how did you discover hemp? When did hemp enter your field of awareness?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was kind of the industry itself going through that rebirth that kind of made us gravitate towards it. I mean, Kyle, a lot of people don't understand that, like, someone who does prosthetic, like a prosthetic technician, someone who manufactures prosthetics, you know, they wear the title of prosthetic technician, but they're actually rapid prototypers because these are custom medical devices. So every device is different and they work with a facet of materials, whether it's carbon, whether it's Kevlar, aramid fibers, you know, a lot of things that are used in every industry, especially the aerospace industry. So these guys are rapid prototypers and almost material scientists. So it's very, very unique. And if you've ever met anyone who's grinded carbon or if you've ever grinded carbon yourself, it is not a fun material to work with. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad material and that we're going to replace it. You know, I don't consider myself an expert to make those claims right now, but I can say that I know enough about prosthetics and how we're trying to resemble a residual limb as much as we can. And I don't think that carbon is the best material for that. Carbon has really good energy return, but it really doesn't have much give to it or softness to it, you know. And if a carbon device falls off a table, it's going to break and delaminate. You know, our hemp devices, they're not doing anything close to that.
May I ask just a super quick one, because this is the perfect, we're probably about to volunteer the information, brother, but if I could just sort of frame it for our listeners. And I find often that, and I was just at NOCO Hemp Expo, which is my favorite ever U.S., you know, hemp trade association. And I'm constantly moderating panels and stuff like that. And I will ask folks, why hemp? And generally, people will give me the, well, because it's so much better for the environment and blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't mean to minimize that. Obviously, the whole reason why I got inspired 30 years ago to basically dedicate my life to the hemp movement and to the plant and the reemergence of the industries is because I am beyond fully aware of the environmental benefits of hemp versus other sources, such as natural sources, including trees, and non-natural sources, such as graphite whiskers and carbon nanotubes that are man-made and so cost prohibitive that you can barely do R&D. What I really want these folks to answer, and I'm so thrilled that you're going to be able to nail it, is when I say why hemp, I mean, how is hemp superior in its performance to the existing materials that we're using? So yes, it's way better for the environment, and we can do show after show after show on all of those reasons why. But I want to get to the nitty gritty of it. Why is hemp better than the existing? And I'm sure that's where you were going, but I really wanted to frame it up, brother. So why is hemp better than the existing and otherwise finest materials that folks thought were the finest materials for prosthetics?
I mean, it goes back to where we got our synthetic materials from. I mean, we had to study other materials and strengths and capabilities of things before we got to our synthetic capabilities. So everything originated from plants in general. You know, we've just put other things in place. And you know, I believe sustainability is really important. But now we understand the importance with things happening and transitions in the world, the importance of controlling supply chains, logistics, controlling materials. And if anyone understands, go on YouTube and watch a video of the manufacturing and production of carbon and how long it takes, how extensive the process is. I'm not even going to get into the sustainability differences. I'm pretty sure most of the people who watch your show understand that, but you know, just the process of it and, you know, we can grow hemp in 120 days and we can have a lot of material, not just material for industrial uses. I mean, things that can be sources of food. It goes on. I mean, you can strengthen your soil and the earth in general, but with proper crop rotation with hemp. I mean, the capabilities are very endless with this plant, and it shows amazingly. You know, I originally got into the industry. I was doing cosmetic lasers. That's what I used to sell. Understood the medical device industry very well. Always had a passion for entrepreneurship. Got into the hemp industry and started my own CBD company. And then from there, met Kyle early on. We kept meeting each other at shows, and then one thing led to another. People, you know, there's, like you said, there's the good people in the industry and then there's the other people in the industry. And a lot of the good people that are, you know, experienced veterans in this industry, they've definitely helped us along the way and allowed us to kind of come together. So just the community in general that surrounds this plant, I don't think people realize that as well. And, you know, our company, we are a company that's going to make prosthetics But we truly are a company that wants to focus on education. We know that if we provide proper materials and you educate people properly with these materials, innovation is endless. And people will just adopt it because they learned with it. So that's, I think, is going to be a big proponent of us moving forward with sustainability, with hemp in general.
Absolutely. Right? And when we're talking about really, you know, I think the main pieces, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and both of us acknowledging, of course, that Kyle, your CTO and co-founder, is the science guy, so to speak. But so what we're talking about here is carbon. If we just take the two materials, right? Carbon, mm-hmm. It's hard. It's strong. We know that. It's also doesn't have a lot of give. So we've got with hemp on the microscopic level, and when I say microscopic, I guess we really are talking about nanotechnology. So looking at things on the nano scale, which of course is far more intense than the microscopic, we're talking about strength and surface area off the charts, as well as the ability for it to give a little bit. And I'm wondering if it, to the extent you want to talk to us about that give factor, where carbon is different than a hemp resin, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, carbon is just really rigid, and hemp is not going to be as a rigid of material. Just in the just when you compare them, I also am a big believer just on going back to, you know, how do we there's 40 million people in the world that don't have access to prosthetic care or can't afford it. Mm. And most of those people are in third world countries. So I'm just trying to figure out in my mind how I'm going to send all these raw materials to a country and try to even combat eating into that number. And we'd have to do it with sustainable materials. It would make no sense for us to start sending carbon to third world countries. So that alone, I mean, there's so many other ways to do things. And I think as we're figuring out, that just goes back to, we have to control our logistics and our supply chains more. And we have to use the earth itself to provide the raw materials that we need if we really want to grow as a world. And you know, we can't just keep going the way we're going. I think everyone understands that. And we solely think that if we show people that you can use a material even just like hemp, and you can provide care for people that don't have limbs, then like, I'm pretty sure that this thing has a lot more capabilities than we're even opening it up to. So we want to be someone that people look at our company and they want to go do something innovative with hemp. And that's what we help support those people. I mean, we're working with other people right now, doing a lot of stuff. I mean, we're working with the University of KU right now. We have 6 students working on a capstone project. They're engineering students, and they're developing a pediatric running blade out of hemp for children. they don't really make running blades for children just because the children kind of grow too fast, and having custom off the brace shelfing is a lot of FDA and hoops and stuff. So we plan on once we develop it out, prototype it, we plan on making custom ones for children and making it affordable as well.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is so fantastic. And what, you know, talk about a material omission. When we sit here and talk about the incredible environmental benefits, the fast growing, we talk about strength, surface area, and give, then you nailed it with, and cost, for heaven's sake, and carbon versus hemp. And then when we discuss this idea, you're basically talking about permaculture, saying, you know, what? How does that make sense for us to ship carbon to third world countries. And permaculture is really, many folks who have heard the term before, right? They think of it as a garden or just strictly agricultural, how to manage land. And that is obviously a very huge piece of the permaculture flower, which has several petals to it. And a lot of folks don't even know that Hemp Ace International, which is my own consulting firm, is the permaculture flower. It's an adaptation of hemp leaves on the permaculture flower because I consider hemp to be that permaculture flower. So there's a petal for land and nature stewardship, for building, for tools and technology, which is where the prosthetics for hemp solute, you know, human plant solutions comes in. There's a petal for education and culture, health and spiritual well-being, finances and economics, land tenure and community governance. Because what permaculture really is, you know, nature is efficient. Nature adapts. Nature doesn't make mistakes. And so if we as humans start to develop systems that mimic natural systems that we find in nature, we're going to be able to do this thing, live harmoniously on the planet in a regenerative, even beyond sustainable way. So it's amazing listening to you talk. And again, the tremendous innovation, the need that your company, Human Plant Solutions, is filling is really the epitome of permaculture and finding those systems. And now you're talking to me about, you know, starting to and endeavoring to and intending to, I should say, create those prosthetics for children. So further expanding that goal.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of it's coming from, you know, we're still a startup, small company, and we're just getting a lot of support from, you know, universities, we received funding from the Department of Commerce in Kansas to bring the company to Kansas. We really like Kansas. We think that, you know, if history is going to repeat itself and we're going to grow even, you know, what we were growing right before World War II, over 2 million acres of hemp per year, I would imagine that we'll be growing over 5 million in the coming future. And I mean, I'm not a big betting person, but if someone wants to take the bet that we're not going to grow a lot of hemp in Kansas, then I will take that bet.
Amen. And listening to you speak in the last 20 seconds, I have goosebumps just going up, radiating sort of up and down my body as Kansas reclaims this crop and takes it and runs with it and heals the world with it. Yeah. And thanks to people like you. Now, I know that these incredible products are going to be launched into the marketplace very, very soon. But right now, of course, you have a total rock star using this incredible prosthetic that you've created, Mark Dunchy. Can you tell us about him and how he's using the hemp prosthetic made by Human Plant Solutions?
Yeah, Mark's story is actually pretty amazing. Mark was someone who got injured in a motorbike accident. Injured his leg, and he underwent multiple surgeries before not wanting to do any more surgeries and not wanting to take any more pharmaceutical medication. So he voluntarily had them remove his limb. After that, Mark was on Medicaid and Medicare, so he was kind of concerned about the price of these devices and if he could even afford one or how he was going. He basically wanted to see if he could learn how to make one himself. So he, down the street from him was an office, not one that he went to get his device, but it was the office that my business partner Kyle was working at. And Mark asked them for a job because he just wanted to learn. And they gave Mark a job sweeping floors, and Kyle was always in the back working. And then he started helping Kyle, and then they became friends. And then, you know, over time, Kyle, one day, I think they were like on vacation somewhere, and Kyle's like, I want to make you a device out of some new material. Would you be interested? And so then Kyle, you know, as the some of the best entrepreneurs out there do, you build it in your garage. And so he built it, the first original prototype, which Mark is still wearing today, which is actually 100% hemp. And we believe that, you know, maybe most people will be blending carbon with hemp to start, but we know that the 100% hemp works really, really well. And so from that moment on, you know, that's how it kind of all got started. That's Mark's story. Mark's been wearing the device now for 4 years. He's competed in a 70-mile Ironman. Mark's actually an incredible athlete too. I mean, a lot of people would look at his Ironman time and would be like, oh, that wasn't very good. But if you look, if you think about an amputee and their transition from doing one event to the next, like, he doesn't have a leg. He had to, after swimming, he had to crawl from the beach to get on his bike and then put his bike. So if you take away all his time lapses of transitions, he actually had a very, very good time. So he's an incredible athlete. You know, he ran the Boston Marathon recently last year virtually in the device. He's going to run again virtually this year in Kansas because Mark lives in North Carolina. He's like, it's too hot for me in North Carolina. I'm going to come run in Kansas this year.
He likes it up north, yeah, as it were. Brother, I have to just remark for a second how people build prototypes and prototypes, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about basically a world-class athlete who is using your very first prototype for these world-class athletic competitions, your first prototype successfully.
Yeah, we can't get him to, it's like a baseball glove that he doesn't want to take off.
Oh, I absolutely love this. And so now, if we could, and again, I know, and we'll have Kyle on at some point, mm-hmm, to the extent that you can help us understand, we are talking, of course, about this patent pending alternative that you and Kyle through Human Plant Solutions has created of caustic, high cost, conventional ultralight composites. You've created this with plants. Can you tell us a little bit, and your site, of course, is wonderful, and we want folks to be able to go to PodConnex, which is PodConnex, podconnex.com, and we'll get you your links to get to Human Plant Solutions. And we've got here, you're talking about the eco resin, the no glass, but can you tell us a little bit about the material itself, how it is made, or what you mean by eco resin, no glass, and anything else that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so of course, I mean, it's just going back to the aspects of the plant going in the ground. Everybody knows, well, not everybody, but quickly, the differences between kind of industrial hemp and cannabis sativa itself, that's more used for the oils or creating the flower. That plant, it grows flowers and it grows a shrub. It grows like a shrub and it creates nodes on the main stalk. Those are branches that come off the main stalk every time it grows. That you want that to happen if you want to get flowers on the plant. But when you create those nodes, you actually create large cellulose buildups, and you can't get long technical fiber off of the plant. So you really need to get true industrial hemp.
Oh my God, I was so happy to hear you say that because I was like, oh my Lord, are we going to have an editing note there? Please, no, on the bushy hemp for plants.
No. I don't want your shrubs. I want the stalks. And then so once we get the true industrial hemp, then you have the fiber and you have the herd. And I'm really trying to go after that fiber. There's basically kind of three different types of fiber that you can get. You get long staple fiber, short staple fiber, and lent fiber. I'm really after that long staple fiber. Now, a lot that goes into growing hemp. People think that hemp is a very fun plant to grow and it makes a lot of money, but it's also one of the hardest plants to process. Degumming.
Well, that especially for the fiber, right? As we often say, yes. We love that it's the longest, strongest fiber in the world after it's been harvested and processed. Yes. But getting it harvested and processed is another thing.
So we've had an extensive journey of learning a lot about, you know, I would have loved to just launch a medical device company, but unfortunately I had to learn a ton about hemp because I knew that it was going to be an integral part to, I mean, even there are people right now who are probably listening to this show who are going to maybe go buy some hemp. And I hope you get real hemp. I hope you're not getting jute or canaf or flax because, amen, people don't really understand this industry. It's very much like CBD. So you just need to be very, very careful with fiber. I mean, right now I've been told by a lot of people that they have the long fiber and they're degumming it and they're spinning it. And, you know, I think there are some people that are close to doing that or possibly doing it right now. But, you know, I still think that we are light years behind what China has the capabilities of doing and has been doing for over 80 years, as we've been, you know, eradicating this plant for a specific amount of time. I mean, it's very interesting. There was actually a study done at K-State University on how to eradicate hemp. It was done, I can't remember what year it was done, but the government, you know, spent about $2.5 million trying to figure out how to eradicate it. They couldn't eradicate it.
Well, they spend that money and more than that annually in the DEA budget continuing to try to eradicate, a species that would never, first of all, allow itself to be eradicated. And second of all, it's a ton of volunteers. So the 2.5 is a drop in the bucket, right, of what they've actually spent. And the reality is that China, they created delineation or degumming of hemp fiber in the 1980s. So I think it was around 19, right around the time that the very first sort of newspaper version of The Emperor Wears No Clothes came out in the United States. So I call it post-prohibition technology that China figured out there. And they are indeed light years. And also, we're watching, I think 5 to 10 years for those who want to create that infrastructure and that manufacturing supply chain. I think we're going to be able to do it. We've already got hemp mills and hemp traders. Now, hemp mills is newer, but believe me, this Madison is absolutely doing it. They just had to go from, I think, a 1,000 square foot facility to a 15,000 square foot facility. And I think then they're moving into an 80,000 for to create hemp textiles. And hemp traders, who you may very well know, Lawrence Serbin, a very dear friend of mine and a leader in the industry for decades, he last year did the first 3 textiles, hemp, American-made textiles. Having said that, brother, the fiber itself, of course, was imported because we're not yet growing. When we talk about the quality that would allow itself to be used as an actual textile as opposed to a more industrial purpose. And so sort of underscoring what you say about, you know, hemp ain't easy. People want to grow hemp. It's going to be super fun. I'll quit my software job and become a hemp farmer. You know, we're hearing that a lot. But the reality is it's further complicated by the fact that we're, you know, thank you, USDA, for, she said sarcastically, and not the current USDA, but in the past, for literally destroying the hemp germplasm that was, you know, within the United States possession. So we're having to recreate the germplasm here. So we're asking farmers, you know, what does grow in your climate, in your photo period, in your soil for your region of the country? So it makes it so difficult. And the last thing that I just want to make sure that I insert there before you continue to tell us more about this incredible company that you formed and the products you're making and the problems you're solving, are that the thing about hemp, when we talk about good actors and then others, as it were, there are lots of well-intended, however, misguided actors in the space, right? So we've got our real, true, I'll use that word, specialists. And yes, there are several experts, subject matter discipline experts. And then we've got the well-intended but misguided actors. And that, I think, actually is what is most in the stream of the emerging industries right now. We've got not so many awesome old school actors and specialists. Then we've got the well-intended, misguided actors. And then we've got, and it's a much smaller population than the well-intended, misguided, is the intentionally bad actors, the exploiters, the unscrupulous actors who are taking advantage. And it comes in every emerging industry. They find themselves to it, and goodness knows they found their way to hemp.
Exactly. It goes back. I mean, it was funny because we were, when we were kind of doing our company, we were going to a lot of the hemp stuff, but also going to a lot of entrepreneurship stuff. And it's the same thing with entrepreneurship, you know, it's like They're like, oh, I'll do this for you. I can do this for you. I can do this for you. And a lot of people who have the good intentions, someone says they can do something for them, and then they start going down that path. And that's why it's really, really important. If like, I will caution people so much, like, you have to educate yourself and don't let this plant take you in a different bunch of different directions. Like, focus on one thing and be really passionate about that and good about that. And that's how you can have a lot of success. And if you, and the same thing for entrepreneurship, everyone wants to make money in entrepreneurship. Just find a problem that you're passionate about, find a solution for that problem, and work every day at it. And you will love what you do and you will be successful. And it will help our world.
I mean, drop the mic. Let's just end the interview here. I'm totally kidding, because what you are clearly doing that and living that. And that is a perfect segue into HPS, Human Plant Solutions, green resins or eco resin. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just more of a, we are actually working on, we have a really good relationship with the University of Missouri and the National Institute of Aviation Research. University of Missouri is really good with ag, and they have some unique professors there that study renewable energies and other and degumming processes and making resins from eco-friendly materials and plants. Ours is a soybean-based resin, but it is still not, eco resins. I would love to sit here and say to tell you that they are the most amazing thing and that they are completely biodegradable, all that. That's just not true yet. We don't have those capabilities yet. But I will tell you, I am working on some unique grant proposals that are developing some resins from hemp specifically. So I think that we will get there, and I know that there's people that are doing this probably or have already figured out that are above me doing it. So
we want everybody on it, so everyone is learning different things and using it for different and the same purposes. I mean, we're going whaling right now on the planet. Yeah. There basically is no such thing as competition, unless, of course, as you learned, you're in the CBD game. So I will also say that, hempwood, are you familiar with the product made by Fibonacci? I bet you are. You should be friends with Greg Wilson if you're not already. And if you're not, I'll be so happy to introduce you.
I would love that.
Oh, good. I'm doing it right after this show. So he uses in hempwood, of course, he uses biomimicry. He's a brilliant guy. And he went to Harvard Business School on top of being the brilliant guy. But that's soy, a soy-based resin as well that is used as part of that, as part of his process. I mean, and it's wonderful stuff. And I'm just going to quickly read here about eco resin, just so we can make sure the listeners get it, since you did it so well here on the website. Human Plant Solutions green resins are seamlessly interchangeable with their traditional petro-based counterparts and require no special processing. I mean, already winner, but we'll keep going. They retain the same or better physical characteristics, including mechanical properties and chemical and UV resistance. OMG. Moving on, and this is how I'll wrap up for eco resins. Renewable content Human Plant Solutions offers several Ecotech resins that use up to 30% bio-derived renewable resources. Recycled content is up to 45% of your resin content that can be used as a post-industrial recyclable material. This is not recycled material. This is not a commercial. This is educating folks to what we're talking about when the finest among us use this plant and take it and run with it. I mean, this is amazing that you, and of course, I understand that we're talking about soy, but you're talking about using these plants to create these incredible materials. And that brings me back to it, because I know we mentioned that for Mark, his original prototype was the 100% hemp. What can you share with us about what you've learned or how you might have modified that? And I'm sure you'll continue to perfect as science develops. But How has that changed in sort of the current makeup of your biocomposite prosthetics?
Not much. I mean, that original device, actually, we just we thought it should have been maybe a little bit thicker than we made the original one, but it is withstood all of whatever Mark could put on it. And we actually just recently, Mark was just visiting Kansas, and we just recently made him a new prototype that is exactly the same. So we're seeing great results just from that original layup. I mean, Kyle has a really, really good understanding of Mark in general as an amputee, and just a really good understanding of prosthetic manufacturing. But we've had a number of people who have utilized our material, and they've blended it with carbon. They blended it with other aramid fibers, and we've seen very much similar results. We tried to manufacture the material too to mimic a Nyglass, which that's pretty much what is a filament material that's also used in the manufacturing of prosthetics. And if you were to look at what a synthetic Nyglass looks like to manufacture prosthetics and look at our material, you basically wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And that's what goes back to why we can use plants and sustainable products for industry purposes. We can even make them look very similar if that's what people wanted to do, because it's very interesting in industries to get people to adopt things that if it doesn't look the part, sometimes performance doesn't even matter.
God, so it's so true, isn't it? But to be able to hit all of those marks and check all of those boxes, mm-hmm. that's where the sweet spot is. And that is so what you're doing. And I also wanted to mention, and I love that you're tooling around with hemp for an adhesive or for a glue or for a resin. And you may have already know, but I want to make sure the listeners know that 3M, of course, has recently announced that they are starting to use hemp for some of their products. And I really wonder, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not even going to pretend, except to say that lignin, man, something tells me that lignin is going to have something good around adhesive. We'll see. Now, the other product that you are manufacturing and distributing, and you'll let me know if it's on the market when you respond to this question, brother, is the Noglass. And it's the natural fiber tape that's 84% hemp and 16% eco nylon. And it looks like it's available in various different We've got the 9-centimeter knit roll, the medium 12-centimeter knit roll, and the large 15-centimeter knit roll. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so those are – so in the manufacturing of prosthetics, that would be the material that mimics the Nyglass. So that is our material that would be a plug-in replacement for synthetic Nyglass. That is the same material that made Mark's prototype that is just 100% hemp. So you could use nothing but that material to make the devices. Like we said, that's a blend of a hemp yarn. So if we go back to talking about those fibers earlier in the segment, how you have those long staple fibers, you have the short staple fibers and the lint fibers. If you take long staple fiber, degum properly, you can ring spin it into a textile yarn in a variation of sizes, and then you can implement that into a facet of textiles, of automotive industry, aerospace industry. I mean, the applications are endless.
Truly. Truly endless. Oh my gosh, I feel like we just got started in this interview, and I basically can't wait to have you back on, but I'll have Kyle on and we'll take turns when we bring you from Human Plant Solutions. You are a company and two gentlemen that I am going to be watching so closely, and I think everybody else should as well. And I'm so inspired and thrilled, and it doesn't surprise me at all because of the innovation that you're bringing, that you're getting such support from our institutions of higher learning, from the government itself in terms of the state of Kansas. It's just so wonderful to see all of this happening, really the best and the brightest of these promising emerging industries. And before we part, Sam, have I not asked you a question or that you wished I had asked, or something that you want to make sure that you do leave the listeners with before we go?
Lastly, I just want to tell everyone that you got to support this community. States have to support it. Governments have to support it. The human population has to support it and start looking at it and accepting it. And if we can do that as a community, then I think that we will achieve what a lot of people are looking for and bettering our world. And we're a company that's here to support that in any way. I mean, we're always available. You can do the info at, will go directly to my email. I always respond. So we're people who are here to help support in any way we can. And we're just thankful to be a part of this community and thankful to have a company that gets to help people.
We are so glad to have you, man. And that's just an understatement, brother. Thank you so much for being with us on the show. Thank you for everything that you do. Hemp Barons is watching you guys, boy. And please, listeners, get to www.podconnects.com so you can check out the links for our guest, Sam Spolita. Sam, brother, I'm wishing you everything wonderful. Until next time, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Joy.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
I'm Joyce Gerber, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast, The Canna Mom Show. And we are on a mission to enhance the impact women have on this industry as business professionals, healthcare providers, policy advocates, caregivers, moms, by sharing and preserving their stories of love and kindness, wisdom, and hope. I am so grateful to have found my tribe of Canna podcasters right here on PodConX and look forward to our work of crushing the stigma around cannabis and caregivers, and building this new industry together.